25 pages.
You had it a little bit.
Of the agreement.
We got a full house this morning, so I ask that if you do speak, make sure you state your name for the ladies over here to get the correct name and all that good stuff. All righty? Let's begin. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, dear Lord, and dear Lord, just thank you for the ones who come out at our meeting. Lord, just guide and direct each and every one of us to help us to make the right decisions for our county. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need approval of the minutes for a regular meeting, March the 7th.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Any officers here like to speak? All right. Motion to go into public hearing.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor?
My guy has a petition by Joseph Burksville requesting a special exception to the grounds providing section 4.45 special exception from the East County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in agriculture zoning district approved with petition dated 2/28/24 to be located on the property described below. East County Parcel 32-0913-4492-00202. The address is 537 Northeast 280th Avenue, Old Town, Florida, and Commissioner's Doors District.
I know we got one opposition. Have you heard anything else?
No.
Anybody here oppose it? Anybody on the phone? No. All right. I talked to the lady that opposes it. She don't want a camper. But I also went down there in the neighborhood and talked to not everyone up and down the street, but most of everybody. Talked to the other man, Mr. Jimmy, that's on the other side of this property. And everybody saying the same thing, you know. Last 20 years, that place had so much junk and thing on it. And this new people has bought this property, spent over $10,000 of cleaning it up. And after the meeting, if anybody wants to look at the pictures that I've got, I'll be more than glad to show them to you. So the neighbors, the ones that I got to talk to, said they had no problem with it. So at this time, I would like someone to make a motion to approve.
Motion.
Got a,
second.
We got a motion, Mr. Wood, second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Oh.
All right.
And second one I have is, you might follow the right way, you Street, Old Town, Florida, which is in Swanee, and Commissioner Hatch.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Have y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
I haven't either, so motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
The next one I have is a petition by Kimberly Sweet, requesting a special exception to be granted section 4.3.5, special exceptions of the Land of Standing Land Development Regulations for the non-recreational vehicle in the USA Zone District, in accordance with the petition dated 3/12/24, relocated on the property described as follows. East County Parcel 04-1010-0423-00U2-0060. It's located at 446 South of the 320th Avenue in Stenhatchee, Florida, as Commissioner Osteen.
I have had opposition. I've had several phone calls. They don't want it done now, so I'm going to make a motion to deny.
We got a motion to deny, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Uh-huh.
one I have is a petition by Myrna Osteen Wolf. Myrna Wolf and Edwin Thad Osteen requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.7.5 special exceptions for the Scanlon voting regulation. Permit one recreation vehicle and a RSF inmate zoning district and authority petition dated March 14, 2024 to be located on the property described as follows. East County parcel 19, 13, 12, 2994, 0000, 2-1510. It's located at 146 South 84th Avenue.
Any opposition? Anyone here opposed? Anyone on the phone? Have y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
I have either motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
All right.
Located at
47
South 84th Avenue. It's also this morning, Commissioner
Hatch. Any opposition? Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Have y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
I haven't either. Motion to approve.
Got a motion for Mr. Hatch to approve. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Aye.
Next one I have is a petition by Bruce Cook, David James, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.3.5 special exception. This is County Land Development Regulations for the Recreational Vehicle, the ESA Zone. In accordance with the petition dated March 8, 2024, located on the described as follows. This is County Parcel 30-08-14-6889-0000-0080. It's located at 2857 Northeast 709th Avenue. It's located at Mr. Stevenson.
You have any opposition?
Yes, sir.
Anybody here oppose it?
Okay. You want to come up to the podium?
My name is Lori Manley, and this is my husband Robert. We have the property directly beside it that we've owned for 40 years. This property, I don't know what's going on with it. It's changed hands 7 times in the last year. It's only 100 feet wide, and it's directly on the Swan River. So we don't want it there. It's a residential neighborhood. There's no other recreational vehicles in the area in that particular street.
The highest piece of the property is on the river.
Everything, it's flooded right now.
The river from where our home is all the way down to where the property starts. It, when it floods, it just fills all up. It fills up from the road to the river. And actually, my piece was one of the last pieces that went underwater.
Wow.
But if you put, I don't know if they put a septic tank in with it.
They have to have a septic and all the bottle stuff to be able to apply for that exception, or they can't even apply.
There's no septic there.
Mr. Jenkins,
they've got the permit secured. They just have to put the infrastructure this year.
Okay. They have all the stuff in order to do so.
Yes, they have before we process
it. Our only objection is two people will put it in, they don't realize that it floods, and then they're left with a lot of chunks there afterwards. And they never clean up. Like we have a burn.
Have you actually talked to the property owners?
It's changed 7 times. We didn't realize that it changed
again. I mean,
it
just keeps flipping. They'll get it and flip it and make a profit on it and flip it again, make a profit on it.
All right.
Well, we've had the property before.
What I'd like to do at this time, I'd like to table this so I can get with the property owners. I hope to get the property owners with y'all and see if we can find out their long-term terms plan on building or what their intentions are for the property, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
We heard rumors that they were going to rent it out.
Well, you can't rent that. That's not legal. You can't do that.
Well, that's what the rumor was.
A lot of times, rumors get spread until you actually talk to the people that's doing stuff. You really don't know what actually is going to occur. So, like I said, I'm going to entertain a motion to table it at this time, and then we'll get all parties together down there and see if we can figure out what's going on, and then bring it back at the next meeting for determination.
We got
it. I got a motion to table
it. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, to table it. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye. Yes, sir.
Just FYI, we tabled something. I made a motion to table down there in Swanee about a boat shed, and we have not got everybody together. Yeah. But April 12th, which is next Friday, we're going to meet on that one, and we'll bring it back to the next board meeting. And I hate leaving something tabled for two meetings, but I just couldn't mind everybody up together because of Good Friday and Easter. So just giving y'all FYI on that.
Need a motion to go back to the board?
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Okay, the second is Resolution 2020-24.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Aye.
Okay, next one is Resolution 24-24.
That was denied.
No.
Yeah, we're going.
Yep.
Yeah, that one's
denied.
That was sweet.
That's right.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Ms. Wood. All in favor.
Aye.
Uh-huh. And the last one was tabled.
Okay.
No?
We got one more. We got
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. I mean, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Aye. All right, gentlemen, y'all be happy to know that I'll have to read you Ordinance 2402 in its entirety today. We have a reading by title only, and I will need a vote on that. That's the one we read last board meeting. It's 2402, an ordinance of the Dixie County Board of County Commissioners, Dixie County, Cross City, Florida, by repealing and replacing Dixie County Land Development Code, Code of Ordinance, Chapter 8, Technical Amendments, Florida Building Code in Section 8-5 and Section 8-6, in accordance with the provisions of Chapter 163.3202, amending the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, providing for deleting in its entirety Article 8, entitled Flood Damage Prevention Regulations, and readopting and amending those provisions in the Dixie County Code of Ordinance as a new Chapter 16, Floodplain Management, and providing for applicability, severability, repealing all ordinance in conflict, and providing for an effective date. Gentlemen, what is your pleasure?
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I'm recording that as a 5-0, gentlemen. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Right, I think after the meeting, you don't have to read that to Jamie.
Yeah, I'm really sad about it.
Good reason.
Homework.
There is another one, so that Jamie don't feel totally left out. You know, just give him like a little brief clip here. It's going to be 2403. This, gentlemen, is the ordinance of Dixie County, Florida, providing that the Dixie County Code be amended by amending Ordinance Number 0705, setting the wind speed risk categories in Dixie County, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of all ordinance inconsistent herewith, and providing for incorporation into the Dixie County Code of Ordinance, and providing an effective date. Whereas Dixie County is authorized by virtue of its constitutional home rule power and the powers conferred upon it by Florida Statute Section 125, to adopt regulations designed to protect and promote the public health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Dixie County, except where prohibited by law.
And whereas Florida Statute Section 553.73 in part adopts the Florida Building Code, a uniform building code effective throughout the state of Florida, which is updated, amended, and enforced as provided in Florida Statute Section 553. And whereas pursuant to Florida Building Code Section 1609.3 allows for the establishment of exact location of wind speed lines by local ordinance using recognized physical landmarks, such as major roads, canals, rivers, and lake shores, and whereas the Dixon County Board of County Commissioners has established wind speed in accordance with the recommendation of the State of Florida and Dixon County Building and Zoning Department to further protect the life, property, and general welfare of the people of the county, whereas Dixon County Board of County Commissioners further adopts the establishment of wind speed risk categories. Risk Category 1 and 2 is 130 miles an hour. Risk Category 3, 140 miles an hour. Risk Category 4 is 145 miles per hour. Should be noted as the asterisk, cell towers, communication towers, and or operation centers and other facilities required for emergency response shall be classified as Risk Category 4. Whereas the board desires to amend Ordinance 0705-5 to the Dixon County Code of Ordinance to comply with Section 1609.3 of the Florida Building Code and adopt the wind speed risk categories for the entire county. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Board of County Commissioners of Dixon County that Ordinance 07-05 and subsequent ordinances regarding wind speed lines is amended as follows. Article 1, the Dixon County Board of County Commissioners is the governing body of the Dixon County, Florida, a political subdivision of the state of Florida. Dixon County is authorized by virtue of the constitutional home rule powers and the powers conferred upon it by Florida Statute Section 125 to adopt regulations designed to protect and promote the public health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Dixon County, except where prohibited by law. And Article 2, the Florida legislature has adopted guidelines through Florida Statute Section 553.73 in part adopts the Florida Building Code, a building and zoning code effective throughout the state of Florida, which is updated, amended, and enforced as provided in Florida Statute 553. And Florida Building Code Section 1609.3 allows for the establishment of exact locations of wind speed lines by local ordinances. Dixon County adopts the above wind speed categories for the entire county. Article 3, Dixon County Board of County Commissioners further adopts the establishment of risk speed categories. Again, risk category 1 and 2, 130 miles an hour. Risk category 3, 140 miles an hour. Risk category 4, 145 miles per hour. With cell towers, communication towers, and operation centers or other facilities required for emergency response shall be classified as risk category 4. Passed and duly adopted in regular sessions of the Board of County Commissioner meeting on this day of April 2024. And then of course we have Commissioner's Chairman Story's vote, Commissioner Hatch's vote, Commissioner Osteen, Vice Chair Commissioner Stevenson, and Commissioner Wood's vote with signature line for the chairman and an attestation by the clerk, Ms. Barbie Higginbotham. So, gentlemen, basically just so everyone's clear on what that just meant is that we're saying the whole county, we did not establish lines. At the old Ordinance 0705 did have lines which cut across certain sections of our county as far as the risk categories. And what we have done is went back and made our whole county effective under those risk categories. So if we declare a risk category 1 or 2 or whatever, it affects the whole county, not just section. Say the coastal section or the first district.
Okay. That makes sense.
Did I explain that fairly accurately on the risk category?
Yeah.
Yep.
The previous one, it was in direct conflict with the Florida Building Code. You had to change
it. And that was the first reading on
it. It was the first reading. We will have the reading by title only at our next night meeting and our vote at that time. I anticipate there may be another ordinance. Well, I know there is another ordinance forthcoming. We did advertise another ordinance for y'all. This is on the Suwannee Water and Sewage Ordinance. There was an amendment that we put out. Should be running in the paper for our next meeting. So bring your popcorn, I'm trying to figure out a way to short-term that one, but that one will be another long one. That's all I have, gentlemen. As far as the, we do have some lawsuits pending. Those are tracking us. You know, we expect there is another case in which we are a third party. It's on a foreclosure where we had a ship loan, and we're tracking in that one also. So I'll keep you updated if there's any significant changes. Right now, everything is still in the pre-stage. Nothing there to report.
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Brad.
By doing this, Blue Cross is going to set a roadmap as far as we cannot raise rates more than 9% if you're in this program after the second year. And we're going to explain the first year in a second. By earning points inside our wellness, you are buying down your renewal. So I'll give you an example. If everybody, if we get 50% participation in our biometric screenings, we're going to get a point off the renewal. If we get 60%, if we get 75%, we're going to get up to 3% off the renewal. Everybody completes their adult wellness, or we get the percentage goal that we need, we're going to get additional 2% off the renewal. The care pathway, if it's completed, a certain percentage of the care pathway that they have assigned, you're going to get additional 1%. So our total, we can get 6%. So if our cap is 9%, then we, of course, we'll cap our renewal at 3%, and that will be regardless of your claims. Regardless. If claims come in at 140, 150%, we're still going to be capped at that renewal. Okay? This measurement period for these points starts April and ends next year in March. Okay? So we are not talking about this year's renewal here. We are talking about the renewal in 2025. Okay? So, regardless of claims, we are setting our renewal to a maximum of whatever we earn in our points. If we earn no points, then of course it's set at the 9%. Okay? That doesn't mean it's going to be 9%. That means the maximum it can be is 9%. Okay? But what does it mean here? Oops, let's go to the page here of the new players involved. You will have a new Florida Blue Value consultant, a clinical consultant, the Better You Wellness team, which we already have, which is Scott Green. Everybody, you know, saw him at our wellness meetings. And we'll also have a designated nurse advocate for people to call. So it's an entire team that's going to be involved in the wellness program for all the employees of Dixie County, which is certainly going to increase, hopefully, participation, increase awareness, and definitely increase the overall health of those targeted individuals. All right, on to this year. What does it mean for the renewal this year? All right, they have agreed if the county enters this program, your renewal will be capped at 5%. It cannot go above 5% regardless of claims. So if you remember last year, we actually had a slight reduction in rates. But with the actual trend and things like that, we could be looking at a, you know, difficult renewal based on trend, because if you go 0 1 year, you might, you know, have a difficult renewal the next year. They have agreed to cap it at 5% or lower if the claims dictate it, and plus an additional $15,000 for wellness. We gave you, I guess it was $10,000 last year at the renewal. Whatever money you've spent, you spent it. And they're going to start a new $15,000, so it's not going to take back last year's money or anything like that. It starts a new deal. This is, in my opinion, a really good step forward by the carrier to do a good wellness program here. And the reason why Blue Cross is allowed, you know, is chosen you guys to participate is because of what you did at the last wellness. If there was only 30, 40 people that showed up for it, we wouldn't be a candidate for this program. But just by doing these simple biometric screenings, we had 50%. We did a little bit of advertising. We did send it out to everybody. County commissioners got behind it this year. But if we start doing a lot more, I would love to see the participation at the wellness 75, 80%. I think it would be phenomenal. And then statistically, if it all works out, you'll see your claims go down. We need to really cut out those care consultants. I think the main thing that they're going to do is hopefully reduce some of those really large claims. Get involved in somebody's life, teach them better living, better ways to manage what they have, as opposed to large heart attacks, large strokes, large things that can cost the county a tremendous amount of money in claims. As your insurance guy, I highly recommend the county doing this.
Okay.
Questions?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
I did participate in the wellness thing, and it was painless, honestly, mm-hmm. It was. But I will say, don't be mistaken, I will this before you go, because the blood sugar's going to be elevated.
Right.
How long does this lock us in? What's the time frame? Is it a year by year?
It's a year by year.
And also, so that would answer my other question, that we're not obligated to stay in this policy if we get another... whoever. I know we've had different types.
Well, here's the thing. You get well, you're going to have people
right.
wanting to insure you.
That's what I'm going with this show.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely. You're still in the open market. You can still get United, Aetna,
right.
self-funded. There's many different things that we can do moving forward. But, no, it is not an obligation that says, well, if you sign this, you're with us.
Yeah.
You can't leave.
For X
amount
of time. Okay.
This deal takes care of two renewals. But it doesn't lock you into saying, oh, it's only 5%, so we have to stay with them. No, you're still in the open market.
Okay. Do you answer my question? Thank you.
Great. Any other questions?
On your percentage, I do have one.
Yes, ma'am.
When you're talking about the percentage, we're talking about only the employees, right? We're not talking about anyone who's employed under, employed. Who's carried under them, or that includes all, you know, if it's a husband and wife, does it include both of them to get the 100%, you know?
It includes anyone that's insured.
Okay.
The county made a decision on the last biometric screening to do all employees, okay, even if they don't have the health insurance, because as we all know, at any given moment, somebody that doesn't have the health insurance might need it and can enroll in it through a qualifying event. So it was all active employees that we wanted to make sure that we, and of course, if they are insured, a spouse or a child, we would definitely have them in the wellness program as well.
And I was thinking, you know, as far as like the percentage of participation, if you've got 50% participation and that was only the employees,
mm-hmm.
if we're counting their spouses and children or whatever, if they come,
right.
we would be at 50 or
right.
75 or 100.
Our target is insureds. We want to target the insureds, not just the employees, because your insureds are your claims. If it's a spouse mm-hmm. or a child, their claims go into the pool as well.
Now, I just had,
mm-hmm.
well, no secret. My husband asked me, he said, you ain't going to that screening? And I said, no, I'm not going. It was for employees. And so
is it not mandatory for the employees to go? Because I made mine go.
It's strongly recommended.
Thank you, Miss Barbie.
I made mine. There were several that didn't want to do it, but I said, no, you're going. Go.
Yeah, it should have been mandatory, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it should have.
So it should have been higher.
Yeah.
It is very valuable. It's very valuable. You know, I would say that some people that went to that meeting might not have seen their biometrics.
What is y'all, I just looked at 100, y'all like 48% of being $167,000 on this whole thing. What is our overall for the year? Do you have that number?
Overall of what?
What we pay for insurance per year.
You pay about $1.4
million. That's, and you got a percentage of that. It don't take very many percentages. That becomes major money.
Yeah, it does. Isn't that right?
Yes.
1.4, 1.6, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
I wanted that number out there to where you.
So every large employer, you know, your number one expense is salary, number two is benefits,
yeah.
And then you've got trucks and all
right.
those things.
Right. Okay.
So anything we can do to bring that amount down, we need to do.
And Blue Cross is paying for it.
Hey, I've seen rates go in a year go up 12%. I've seen them at 15%.
Yeah.
And if you get locked in at 9 and then possibly 5, that's...
I have a 300
big savings.
They got a 46% rate increase
mm-hmm.
for January 1st.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
a lot of money.
It is.
All right, for good.
Yes.
Yep. Save up.
But we need the board to say yes or no whether they're going to do it.
Motion.
We've got a motion to accept Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Mr. Stevenson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Miss that on.
You know, this is going to go with my presentation. So everybody needs to get one of these.
Thank you, Mr.
And I've got a timer, I want you to know, 3 minutes or less is my presentation today. I know y'all are going to be impressed with
thank
the...
So
we want to say thank you, our community. We've been here 13 years because of the support of our community. And in 13 years up until this last year, we've never received So imagine our services are going to go, we're going to be able to do even more because this year we received part of the settlement dollars. Our county commission voted for us to receive that. So we want to say thank you. So now what I feel like I need to do is in 3 minutes or less, tell you a little bit about us because it would take me days to tell you what all we do. We provide two functions. Prevention education and recovery services, okay? These are all the sectors that we work with and have worked with since at least 2014, so 2 years to get established, okay? Now, if you look at that document that you have, our name is not on it, it's not our event, that's an advertisement of these sectors and what they're going to be doing, okay? And what's that advertising? What sector is it? Is it the faith sector? The faith sector. That's two events, okay? We promote prevention education, part of that. Now, we do a lot of different kinds of prevention education, but this is one of them. We promote alcohol and drug-free and family-free and safe and community events, right? That's one of the things we do, and we're going to be even better in it this year. So if someone asks you, what in the heck do they do, what are you going to say? I just told
educate.
You. Prevention education. Prevention. What's the other thing we do? Recovery resources. If someone wants to go into recovery, we have resources. We don't make them do it. We're not clinical. We walk beside them. We say, these are the resources. These are the things you can do. Okay? Any questions about that? We're so excited to be here. We'll be filling you in on what we're doing. Like I said, 13 years active in our community. Thank you.
Yes,
hey, Cindy, did I do it?
You did?
She's my timer. It takes a minute. Please put that on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For all that y'all do.
Yes.
Yep.
First, I want to say, Ms. Janet, thank you for taking up part of mine.
Thank you.
That's the ordinance. This last month, we lost one of our board members. He resigned due to personal reasons. And Commissioner Hatch would like to appoint William Brooks to speak for. So I'll turn it over to Mark so he can make the motion. And
first, I want to make a motion to accept Mr. Lee's resignation.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye. And second, I want to make a motion to appoint Mr. Bill Brooks or William Brooks to the board.
Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, for Mr. Brooks.
Yeah, for Mr. Brooks.
For Mr. Brooks. And second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye. Now, with that being said, I actually said this in their meeting down there also. These seats, how many seats is up? Three of them.
One, four, and five.
Yeah.
And that's
so
what
I encourage them all to run because there's not a sitting board member down there right now that we haven't appointed. And I'd whole lot rather go through the political realm like it's set up and let Swanee Water and Sewer District elect their own representatives. Mm-hmm. And I did stress that, didn't I?
Yep.
So that's all I got.
All right. Currently, we have 929 active accounts. That's up by one. I did get good news last Thursday, right before Good Friday. The state has sent the purchase order out to the two companies to replace the grinder pumps. So I believe one's going to start next Monday, and the other contractor is going to start by the end of next week. So we're going to hopefully, my fingers are crossed, within 3 months have all of Suwannee done. FDEP, our sewer treatment plant inspection, went extremely well, went a lot better than I thought it was going to be, especially after the storm. We got gigged on minor things. One was paperwork, but we've got 900 in pumps blocking the file cabinets in the storage shed, so we have to move some of that stuff out to get on that. The other thing was we did fail on the pH ground levels. I did ask how do we fix that, and they went, I don't know. So they're going to send an expert out and give us suggestions, or they may lower our level expectations.
DEP does that?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't look for that one.
Well, I want to know, you know, it's groundwater, and we don't show anything bad, but the pH level is low, and we're in the middle of
we run into the same thing with arsenic and these wells and all around here.
The other thing, I want to thank Scott, wherever you're in the dirt seat today. I requested him to come out. We had some IT issues. He came by and made some suggestions of a new routing switch and to register our firewall for virus protection. We did all of that. In our last meeting, we also had, we talked about getting cell phones or paying for cell phones of the employees. Come to find out that if they're using their own personal phones, their phones are opened up to, if there was something, some kind of investigation, their personal stuff is opened up to that.
Mm-hmm.
That opened up another can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
We have, when I started, everybody's email was Google, Yahoo, and all that. So when I came on board, I talked to one of our board members, the treasurer at the time, and we decided to get our own domain, and the only thing he and I argued about was a server. So it ended up going on my business servers. So again, I opened up myself. That has been remedied now. We have our own server. But I also did ask Scott, and I don't know where we're at with that, if we can get on county email, so now we are secure. Ms. Hannah, you did that. That's it. That was an easy one.
Yep. One thing I do want for our record and up here, the bids was for the grinder pumps all went through the state, selected by the state, outside by the state. Everything was done by the state. 20 orders were had zero to do with.
Correct.
With we were process and four exceptions.
Correct. In fact, I didn't know who bid, what the bids were. It was all done by the state, and the state told me, hey, we picked these two companies and
work with them. Okay. I just wanted that on record.
We had nothing to do with it. I'm still asking questions daily, and I go, I don't know, here's, you know, call FDEP.
I know you're getting questions, because I am too. So I wanted that on record, that 21 or so I had.
We had nothing to do with who bid, how the bids were taken, or anything.
Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Steve. Mr. Bailey.
Mr. Steve, are you going to handle Mr. Brooks? Are you going to take care of that from here?
Yes, sir. I just need his information.
I'll send it to you. Yeah.
Good morning. I just have a few quick updates. The EOC, we sent the bid advertisement package to manager and attorney yesterday. Right now, the plan is to advertise that on Thursday, April the 11th, have a pre-bid meeting on the 25th, and then opening the bid on May 14th. Obviously, EOC expense.
pass up my day.
The Old Town Fire Station, the contract is still in the process of waiting delivery on the metal building package for that. So the mm-hmm. procurement pack for that. The CDBG project, 95th and 97th, we're reviewing almost 90% of our phase three plans. So we're looking to wrap this up quickly here. We've sent the plans to the utility company to make sure we don't have any utility conflicts. We would like to see one pole move and then contact Central Florida Electric to make that taken care of on those streets over there to make it better for the road and the citizens there. 82nd Avenue, Central Florida Electric has moved the poles there, so we're reviewing our plan to resubmit those to DOT. So we should be getting approval to advertise that pretty quick on that. And then the last one I have is Sheriff's Evidence Building. We've made three floor plan revisions at their request. We've now been waiting on them to approve the last floor plan. So kind of hold until they complete that. That's all right.
Thank you. Miss Locklear.
Hi. We actually don't currently have any updates to report, but if you do have any questions, you can let me know and I'll get them to our job.
I'd like to look at that Horseshoe Road one. Okay. Me and you talked about it. I'd like to see a plan on that on culverts going under, mm-hmm. right there around the Little Red Store. Mm-hmm. I'd like to look at that in your plans.
Okay.
I have a copy of those. Y'all.
You do? Mm-hmm. All right, never mind. I'll get it from him. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for everything y'all do, too. Miss Cindy?
I really don't have anything. You know, the library went through the hurricane very well. Yesterday's rain, I was just looking again. But it's already scheduled for this to go fishing again, so I may get to God to a little bit of time.
Thank you, Miss Cindy. Mr. Freeman? Mr. Hutch?
I ain't got nothing unless I'm not coming to you.
Thank you, Mr. Hutch. You doing better? Good deal. Yeah. Glad to see you here. All right. Mr. Chauncey's not here. Mr. Tim Johnson's not here. Mr. Leon?
I got one thing for you, and it is the fee schedule for planning services. I'd email each one of you individually. I don't know if you had a chance to review it, look at it. I know we spoke about it briefly at the last meeting. Mr. Gray wasn't here. If you had any questions, he's here today. We got a couple of projects that are on hold until we can get this figured out. And I got to be able to tell some of these projects which direction we're headed in.
I looked at that email and you
yeah.
talked about sticker shock.
Yeah.
We, it was tough.
And that's the actual people, when they go apply for this, they have to pay for that, correct?
Yes,
not the county.
No, sir, they have to pay for it.
Was that a one time or is that annual?
No,
that's per time.
Project.
Per project.
Yeah, so what, so previously, you know, we was paying the planning council, so we were subsidizing everybody's projects. And under this way of doing things, the applicant pays for the entire project. And it costs money, there's no doubt about
yeah.
it. Now, the biggest one that the board's going to get heartburn on is going to be the notorious RV special exception. And that gets to be pricey compared to what they're doing now. Currently, right now, they can pay $300, and if it don't work out, then they don't. It's not going to hardly affect them much. But now you're talking
$300.
$4,300, and if it passes, the extra $1,000 impact fee. So it's a.
So in other words, if we go with this, they have to pay that money up front, and then if it does not pass, they don't get that money back, right?
No.
You say before we plan the planning council to do all this, correct?
Yes, all the big items they took care of.
And how much was we paying them a year?
Almost $13,500, I think.
$13,500 for the whole year.
But they didn't hardly do nothing either.
Their response was hideous. I understand that, but I mean, we pay them $13,500 a year, and if they absorb in the cost of what you're saying, all these special exceptions, you add up how many of those we did in a year.
No, we don't hardly charge. What we're charging for land use changes and stuff is nothing compared to look around and see what other people do charge. And it's just like, you seen today, we had 6 or 7 of them on there. We had more than that. Some of them did all their stuff. And, yeah, our department, we do a very good job at getting this processed out. But on top of, I've still got 200 FEMA inspections to do. I still have, you know, other plans sitting there in review. Like, but some of these big items, and let's face the ugly truth. Last time you had a big subdivision come through, a bunch of people went to prison on it. You know, I'd much rather Greg's office sign off on that thing than ours.
And the retains, we don't retain nothing.
So you're paying for service.
Yeah, we're paying for service.
The applicant is paying for service. And in return, we're getting clean quality.
They cut down on some of these
illegals. Mm-hmm. Well, it's either going to cut down on them or it's going to make more illegal ones out there.
Exactly right.
Well, so people are not going to pay that much money.
It's going to clean it up.
They're going to be sneaking them in.
Clean it up.
Uh-huh. They won't have a power.
You better hire some more people than Steve then.
I don't know what the answer is.
Clean it up. You need a motion on this?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I'm just going to lay it out there. It's called a special exception. When we do 5 every meeting, there's nothing special about it.
Thank you.
Special exception is intended for controversial stuff, and I get sometimes we do have controversy with these, but it's meant for other uses, more extreme uses than that. So that's the intent of that classification. If you look at the LDRs, they'll list out certain things that require special exceptions, obviously at one level, but if you get into the bigger stuff, that's where the fees get up. And you ask us to do it, I'm a private provider, I got liability on that.
Yes.
The county is limited, the planning council is limited on their liability. So you got to make sure it's been done correctly. You'll have a lot more documentation, probably than what y'all used to. At that meeting when y'all talked about this originally, I know there was 2 court cases in county laws, and that was the issue with planning council. So, you know, we don't want to be in that same situation with the board attorney.
I agree with you, but I also want to know this. How does it change the special exceptions up here? How does that change the perception of it? And how does it change the big meetings that you're talking about? How does that change that side of it? Because it's still ultimately, actually, we're going to have a board in place before too long, right?
Yes.
And some of it won't come even before us. But how does that change the atmosphere that we should sit in? That don't.
Okay, I'm going to implement your board. The 2 of those boards are advisory, and then they approve it, and it comes to you guys, and you guys are the actual final say on it.
Right.
In effect, it gives the citizens 2 shots now to
fail the city. But we're doing that anyway.
Right.
Well, how
do
you go to one meeting?
Because maybe we're doing it too. Right. But that's the ball we got rolling. Been kicking that ball for a while now, and I think Lynn's about ready with that. But I don't see how it's going to change this environment or this setting a whole bunch by charging $4,300.
If you want to separate those out and do those different, certainly do that. That would be the way to change that.
I also think that when somebody comes in, they realize, hey, it's $5,000 to apply for that, or you can put in a mobile home for $260.
There you go.
Well, build a house.
There you go.
That would be my only deterrent to this, honestly. But I agree with what Daniel said. It's gonna put a lot of work on Steve also.
And I cut a lot of this friction out with the people who has homes. I'm seeing a lot of heads shaking out there in the crowd. I think they are wanting to see.
We are too, or I am.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah. If you put that up there,
that's right. They don't like what they see.
I mean, we already allow, if they want to find a older mobile home, 1983 and newer, we'll go and do a pre-inspection on it. So there's avenues
that can help
that they could utilize. I think a lot of times that's the first thing that they're looking for is a camera. They're not even looking for that. You set the minimal standard.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And you're not denying them the use of it, you know, but it just costs the process. I don't know.
It's also going to cost a lot more to do like a regular special reception on docks or any other stuff.
That's no, if it's a permitted item, then that's a regular permit. If you're going to do a variance, then
you want
a variance costs money too. But I would almost argue half the variances that come before you aren't legal requests anyway. And I mean, that's just the ugly truth. They want it, but they want it, not that it meets the criteria. And I think it'll cause them to stop and look and evaluate this and say, hey, this is what it is. Now, I also think that there's places in our map that we need to look at and make sure that the zonings are correct on and everything is in compliance with the way it should be. I do know this. You've got a 75 townhouse unit that's on hold in a hold pattern. You got 23 affordable housing over here by the school that's on hold. You've got the 29-acre campground or 19 that's on hold. And you have the subdivision down there for John Lamb that's on hold because we got to have a planner on staff and we got to have a way to move forward. So you got some big projects sitting on hold.
And this right here will fix it. It'll make it move forward.
Yeah, we got to have a planner.
And I'm going to tell you, we got one you just mentioned that it's going to be a hard one because it's not a continuous piece of property. And we really need to be educated on that.
Well, I have a private provider looking at this, vetting it, all the documentation to go with it.
One of the high points I've seen, gentlemen, too, is thanks to whoever it is, like Mr. Bailey, that gets the liability off the county. That's on Mr. Bailey's dime when he signs off on it.
Because at the end of the day, you take the two code enforcement cases that we've had to pay out on. It's not that we weren't in the right with citing the violation. It just came down to procedural, technical paperwork issues. And I'll do you the best job I can. I have immunity from being sued in a lot of places, but I don't want to put no burden on the county because I got plenty of work over there to be doing. And by law, you got to have a planner on the staff, so.
It is their choice to use or not use. It does free up a lot of liability, but I personally think just give this to the next board meeting before we
I'd like to have a little bit more information. I'd like to sit down with Greg a little bit and sit down with Leon before I make the, I want to make the best educated decision for this county. So I'd like another board meeting before we do this.
So tell everybody the calls 2 more weeks.
2 more weeks. Well, if y'all good, I mean, y'all can vote, but don't vote me.
Gentlemen, so you know, we will have to effect an ordinance in regards to this, so it would require us to advertise it and everything, too. Mr. Leon has drafted one.
Very true.
Okay, so Mr. Bailey and him drafted us an ordinance.
So this here is your numbers that it would take for you to do this services and everything. You good with that?
My planner took and reviewed all the documents that the county has.
There will be a modification.
Be done like you're doing it takes now, and all that. But yes, Brandon took a look at all your applications. He looked at all your environmental regulations, comp plan.
I think I'm handling this.
I've stated my stance. So, shut the office.
Well, I still said on the Florida Economic Council Board that we was paying to do this. They've got committees that stuff like this go. I guess that's the planning committees that they go before that looks at projects and supposed to deem whether to have the sewers or to or facilities and all that before the park.
Commissioner, I'm not trying to argue with you about it, but that same committee did not show up one time during our court trial case that went all the way to the appellate court and then stood in here and told me that judge, it didn't matter what he said, but yet at the end of the day, it costed us. So I just, years of not getting responses, and it was 3 consecutive years in a row I stood up here and saying, hey, we should fire them. Mm-hmm. And you look around and you look at half these other smaller counties like us that don't get the service from them, they're overwhelmed with larger municipalities that pay them more, essentially. And it was always a good avenue when we weren't busy. But you're starting to see a lot of growth. You're starting to see a lot of movement. And, I mean, you're always welcome to hire a planner at the county level, too. They typically cost more than building officials.
But if you do that, then the county's got the liability on the county.
That's right.
Mr. Bailey's company is taking that off the county. And you're good with everything, right, Mr. Leon? This is what this will help the county, right?
It's an application fee that they pay for that service. They want to develop a piece of property and move forward. Formidable items that come through your houses and stuff, they can walk right in and fill out that application.
And y'all got that.
Right. Yeah.
This is the bigger stuff.
The bigger stuff and outside the parameters of
any special exception or variance.
Those are the ones that you typically see the most of. But now, like the subdivisions, the reviews for that, if they get involved with anything, the PRDs, big projects, site plans, the big developments.
And
you're going to have them. They're going to come.
And these fees takes care of him. The county won't have to come up with no extra money. Okay.
That's what they
gotcha.
Charge, but we have to have it.
So yep. Y'all want
to walks in, they know like, hey, here's what you need to do, and here's how you get a hold of them, and then we work together. And
I know
he has a planner on staff. His name is Brandon Stubbs, and I've known him, previously when he worked at Columbia County. And
I know Mr. Hatch wants to wait.
That's fine.
Does everybody else want to wait? I can vote right now. I'm just letting y'all know.
I just need to know what to tell them when they call.
Don't make y'all's mind up.
I brought it up at the last meeting and set it to this meeting and we move it again.
You my building man, I trust you and I trust my engineers right there. They say they can handle it, take it off the county. You know, kick the can, kick the can, kick the can. We need to fix.
Don't say I'm kicking the can.
No,
I didn't say that.
I just want some more research.
That's right.
I know Greg very well. He's very good about returning phone calls. We'll sit down and talk, and me and Leon will talk, and that's all I said. Yeah. I'm not kicking the damn can now.
No, I didn't say you was kicking the can.
Sounded like it.
I just need to know what direction I was going.
We fired Economic Council, and those are the only ones that came to pick up what we recommend them to take it over. So, and that's the numbers they come up with, and it don't sound like you're in favor of hiring the Florida Economic Council back. So, I make a motion that we move forward.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, to move forward.
And what is moving forward in telling? On implementing these fees, we got all these projects coming up. We got to do something. We can't just keep sitting in the holding fighter.
And what projects he's saying, we got a little area right over here in Cross City, right over here by the middle school that's been cleared for years.
Ain't the project. That's not the project. There's another one right there by. I've already had one interview on them, too.
Okay.
But they're on the time.
We got a motion.
To move forward, to advertise, and then y'all still would then go forward with what the ordinance come before you as read, which basically would be that we're adopting these fees. Then you would vote on the ordinance. So you would have the time that Commissioner Hatch is requesting, because I've got to get it in the paper this coming week, because can't get in today. It's too late. I mean, I will get it in, but it'll be right next week.
I made a motion to move forward into the investigation process.
Yes, and right. And so I could go ahead and advertise this ordinance. If the board's decision is to not move forward, they can vote the ordinance down. They do not have to accept it. I mean, when we advertise the ordinance, just like this last one, y'all have the power to not accept it.
Okay. With that being said that way, I will second Judge's motion.
We got a second, Mr. Hatch. Any discussion? That cleared it all up that right there. Because this one ain't no final vote. All in favor?
I just want a little more time to read off on this.
And like I say, y'all have until the next board meeting before, at the very least, before we go forward.
So, Mr. Chairman, just to be clear, that's
5-0. Yes,
5-0. All right. And then the other item that we have is we've done the flood plain ordinance. We've updated the wind speed ordinance. The next one that you'll see will be the LDR ordinance and the code enforcement ordinance. And that will clean up our last remaining ordinances in the queue system for us. If
you
have any questions for me, by all means.
No. Thank you, Mr. Leon. Thank you.
Appreciate for all you do trying to keep all this paperwork straight.
Mr. Brown.
Yes,
Mr.
Chairman. I only have one thing this morning. We told y'all, I think you told y'all last meeting I was not here, about the $10.1 million for the LAP funding, which covers the renourishment of Shirt Island as well as the engineering for the Shirt Beach. The dredging of the Horseshoe and the Suwannee Canals, replacement of our Fire Station 3 and a new Fire Station 61, which is the Horseshoe Beach area. The state has approved those funds. It's about $10.1 million. We were awaiting the contract. We have that contract. Chief Garner is prepared to sign it, but we had just gotten it, so we wanted to give you all the opportunity to hear that and look at it. And if y'all don't have any objections, I'll have him sign it this afternoon and send it. The way this money works, it was appropriated out of last year's appropriations. So the state of Florida has to have this money out of their hands by June 30th. So what will happen, according to the state, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, but within 14 to 28 days, the state of Florida will cut Dixie County a $10.1 million check. We will have to, of course, put that in proper financial systems, and it'll have to be locked down because we have to look at interest and everything else. But we will have 100% of the funding to begin and finish all these projects. Once this contract is signed and that money is sent, we have no other hurdles to stop us from beginning work. Correct, Chief?
Correct.
So if the board has no objections to that, I'm going to have Chief Garner sign that contract and send it to the state today and see if we can get some money moving.
What about the other projects we got down there, Darren? Do you know anything on them yet?
I don't have exact. You're talking about all the different parks and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have exact answers for you. I know they're all moving. I see emails every day. We get multiple emails. Chief Garner, do you have anything that we can get any specific updates? I know I asked Ms. Twist, which is our representative for FEMA the other day, about a week or two ago, and she said that she's looking at most likely the end of May, 1st of June, when we actually start getting the projects finally approved and money coming in. There's processes, of course, for the federal government. You all know that. I can't answer specifically per project. No, sir, I cannot. But I can get you details on any of them if you would like.
Yeah.
You know, which ones you want, we can, Chief Garner can find out exactly where those projects are. But they are all moving. They've all been submitted. They've been reviewed. Most all of them have at least once been reviewed. And they're sending back things that they need clarification on. I see those every day. The Chief and the Senior are answering them every day. And they're forwarding those answers back to move those projects along. When Ms. Twist gets them, she sends them to another reviewing group who has the, I guess, probably the close to the final approval authority.
It goes to Atlanta. After she reviews and gets everything, it goes to Atlanta. And then from Atlanta, they go through, and like Mr. Jamie, I've got to get with you on the well system. New questions come up on mapping in depth and everything else of that well. And sure, that me and you've been speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
So now that it's somebody in Atlanta, that's where that 300 foot come from.
Mm-hmm.
As they ask those questions, she sends them to the Chief, and, mm-hmm. and of course I'm copied. And then he provides whatever answers are needed, and we send it back. She forwards it up to them, and then they move forward that process. So
is all these on PWs, the one that we're,
yes,
we're
sir,
looking
that's,
at?
Yes, that's what I'm referring to, yes.
So you closed that particular thing out, or is all these PWs closed out on the 10.1?
No, I'm sorry. No, this is two projects, boss. The PWs are the damages from the hurricane, such as Butler Park, the boat ramps, the docks, the piers, things that were submitted to FEMA for repair. The $10.1 million is a different pot of money, has nothing to do with any of those damages. That is the five projects that I just told you, the beach, the sand portion of the beach. It doesn't take into account the picnic tables, the pavilions at Sherry Beach. We have to get the sand back first. And as we talked earlier, FEMA would not provide that funding to put the sand back because the beach was not engineered. It's one of their laws, rules. So we asked for it in this other pot of money. We were approved. What that will do is give us the money to put the sand back, but it will also give us the money to do the engineering. And then if we have another hurricane that comes in and takes that sand away again, we know what it was. They know what it was. Then they will approve it through the PW side. So all of your pavilions, parks, walkways, floating docks, all those things that were destroyed during the storm are all under PWs, which is what we're getting back and forth, the well system at Shirt Island. And we separated a lot of those out. You know, people ask why we didn't do Shirt Island as a whole. Once we get to a certain amount, then it puts it in a different project level, and the way we get the funds back is different. And basically, we have to build it and get the money back instead of getting the money up front type thing. So that's why you have the pavilions under a project, the picnic tables under a project, the well under a project, because it keeps them in that small project category. Once it's approved, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, then we start getting that money when we go to work, and we don't have to have the reimbursement side of it, correct? So that's why we kept those there. You see it at Horseshoe, at the Butler Park, we've got the floating docks on one, you've got the pavilions on another, the bathhouse on another. The reasons for that is to keep it under that dollar threshold to speed this process up. FEMA is slow enough. We don't want to have to spend county money and take out loans to get the money back. So we're trying to keep all of those, and I think we're all but the highway, we're 100% below the small projects. Is that correct, Chief? So everything but the Shirt Highway is going to be small projects. And they're in the approval process, and we're back and forth every day. I see emails 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 every day. And those questions come in. How deep does the well need to be? 4 inches or 6 inches sufficient? Why can't we do this? And as they answer those questions, send them back. Ms. Twist stays on top of that, make sure that they get what they want. If they have other questions, she immediately calls. They immediately answer. Usually those answers, the day we get the email, the answer's back in Atlanta by that afternoon. So we're trying to keep that moving on our end. But the LAP funding is a different pot of money. It's specifically for our fire projects. And we can't overlap it, so we can't pull it and use it here and there. It has to be used for what it's dedicated.
And the LAP funding is state money?
Yes, sir.
And all the PWs are federal money?
Yes, it's state.
So
it's two different
pots of money.
Any other questions, gentlemen?
No, I make a motion for Scott to sign that and get it back to him.
Second. We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
And gentlemen, just real quick, just so y'all know that Ms. Chana did approve that contract and everything also. So she has reviewed it also.
Go ahead and sign that. We've got it on his tablet. We're sending that as we speak. If y'all don't have anything else with me, I have a list of stuff and also I need to get back to if I can. Yes, sir.
The HMGP deadline is April 30th. Where are we at with that?
We have a meeting. What day is that meeting?
We've got a meeting with Tidewater on Friday, and then we have a state meeting on the 9th at 1:30 at my office with the state. The projects are being submitted to the state or to Tidewater, which is our state contractor. State-provided contractors going to write those projects.
We're already putting a lot of those together, as y'all presented, we've been presented. Those are already being put in place. Once these meetings happen, it'll all be finalized, and we're still well within the deadline. I understand your concern. Okay. So that's moving along. As far as I know, no other concerns with that, Chief, correct?
No, no concerns at all.
Everything should be within the deadlines. If it's not, we will definitely let you know, but I don't see anything to borrow that from happening.
Keep me updated on that, if you don't mind.
Anything else, gentlemen?
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you
all very much.
Y'all
have a good
day. Thank you.
All right,
bud. Mr. Scott? I have one thing. I've been presenting y'all over the last couple board meetings about the cybersecurity grant being renewed. I got notification that it is going to be renewed. So once the state budget is finalized with the governor and all that, they're going to open up the process. Because this is a short time frame, just like it was last year, I am requesting authorization to move forward and file the documents related to that and not have to bring this conversation back to the board just because of its sensitive nature. Of course, obviously we work with the county manager and the county attorney just to make sure everything's legit, but this is just like last year. No money will change hands. It's all handled through the state. It's just the grant is to provide us with the services that the grant covers. Again, no money changes hands for us for this renewal of this grant. So,
motion.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Uh-huh. And just be on the lookout when we start. I already talked to the county manager about this. When we start budget time, we are going to try, I'm pushing to try to get some of these funds allocated in the budget, in my budget next year, because likelihood, because of the hurdles that we had to jump to, it may not renew next year. And because it expires in June, end of June, when the state budget year, that leaves us 3 months holding. So we've got to be ready for this next year, just in case it doesn't renew again. So, FYI.
Thank you. Ms. Kay.
I wanted to let you know that we have our new website up at visitdixie.com. Jesse simply has put a new website up, so if you all can take a moment and look at it sometime, and you're welcome to send me your opinions or anything that you see missing. We're continually building it as we're going here. Also, Shelly's been moving forward with the short-term license program. We have a letter to give to Ms. Kama to double check, and she's checking with the self-inspections, checking with, you know, fire, and making sure that we've got all of the, and building, make sure we've got all the correct regulations in there. Questions?
Thank you, ma'am.
Ms. Kay?
Yes.
One word of caution, I guess, on any photos that we might use on our Visit Florida, to make sure we have the proper listings. We don't use anything that might be copyrighted.
Right. And we are making sure that having these videos that Florida did, they gave us a lot of the stills from that, and that's what we're mainly using.
Make sure they give us a release with permission to use them. And the reason I say that is we've had a, there's an issue with licensing sometimes with, you know, and the repercussions to it can be quite costly. So we want to make sure that we do have permission to use any photos that we might post.
Well,
of course, if you have any doubt,
Her and I discussed that the other day, so my advice is going to get to you. Maybe we should draft something and I should send it out to all of our, even our constitutional officers, to make sure everybody's aware of this whole scenario as the, you know, chief information person. So we have to make sure that's coming. But her and I already discussed that, and Holly and I discussed that.
Good.
Tangible in our documentation, so those are legit. Those are ours. Yeah. We have authorization to use them.
I will, if you all can draft up a letter or I can write something up, you know, in thinking about it, you know, the people that were in the videos, those were friends of mine, so I couldn't find other people, you know, we're fine with it, but again, I don't, I'll get something
and like
from them, each individual.
The copyright law is just such that we've got to make sure that, you know, that we do have their permission to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the back side of that, have a lawsuit come back and then wanting to be reimbursed in large numbers for the using this photo or this.
I know when we done a B-roll with the state with one project I had done back when I was in SG, they made us all sign a release. Anybody who was in that video had to sign a release.
Yeah, to use their image. Release? Yes. I mean, in, even the school,
yeah,
when they take pictures at events, so most of the time they will require release.
Yeah.
That's just to protect,
yeah,
us as a county.
Yeah.
Or,
that might not be a good idea. You know,
yeah.
You and I need to probably draft something up legally for that, for any of them.
Yeah. And I just think that way we're covered. I would hate for us to be,
yeah,
facing, you know, having to answer for using a picture of the coast or something like that that someone else took.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gail's not here. Ms. Holly's not here. Ms. Angie's not here. Mr. Paul.
Yes, sir, Chairman and gentlemen. If you'll turn to your manager's report, get some audience of food and stuff. There is only two action items on our report. So, number one, we request board approval of the SHIP coordination agreement for Andy Osteen to remove the balloon payment and to amortize the loan over the remaining terms. This is just her restructuring that with the bank and will thus be enlisted on the SHIP as that goes to the board.
Motion.
Is that a motion, Mr. Wood? Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye. And the second action item is to request board approval to execute contract agreement with DVT Transportation Services for the AWOS system at the Cross City Airport in the amount of $5,995.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen, second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
And just a couple of information items. I just want to let the board know that the RFP for grant services has been advertised starting today. The ads will run in the Dixie County Advocate and the Gainesville Sun for the next 4 weeks. Number two, just want to let you know that the sea hangar construction advertisement for the airport is also being advertised at this time, and we'll be receiving bids on that in a couple of weeks. Any questions for me?
Did you get the Jack Colford stuff handled? I went and looked at it. I know I was one of the ones that I wanted to look at it, and it's fine. I don't
know. Okay.
We did. Our attorney after that discussion that you had, sir, and told her that you were okay with that, and she could do it for you.
You did.
Perfect.
You did.
Thank you.
Ms. Chayna?
Basically, we covered everything when I was on the ordinance, so I'm good.
Ms. Hickenbottom?
I'm good this time too. Do y'all have anything?
Good. Commissioner Adams? Mr. Wood?
I just want to thank Ms. Van Arnum and her group for the work that they're doing at the foot of the bridge. With the Up in the Dixie County sign, it already looks much, much better than it did, and they're not even done yet. And I want to thank the road department too for helping her with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see you, boss man. Glad to see you back.
That's all I got.
Cross City Restore and Renew.
Yes. Yes.
The north end of the county looks great, too, and I want to thank both of y'all. Mm-hmm.
I
did.
Is that?
Yeah, I went to the Republican thing Monday afternoon, I believe. It was at 6:30 and was posed a question about code enforcement. And actually, he's here tonight, or this morning, I should say this morning. Got my days and nights mixed up. But what he had was a code enforcement case or a question about code enforcement, and I directed him. I did give him a card, and I'm going to direct him to Leon. And I think I gave him all the right information. We used to not be able to do that anonymously, but you can now, correct, Leon? You don't, or do you still have to give your name? Hey, Mark Hatch has got a complaint against Leon Wright.
Correct.
I thought that went to not.
A lot of times, if somebody wants to make a complaint, and we go out there and meet with them, we can write the complaint for them.
Okay.
And then they can
Okay, but we can do it with on the county's staff, basically. Yeah. Okay. So still a pretty good answer there. But there is also in that, be mindful that within the city limits we do not handle their poor horseshoe. So y'all be mindful of that if y'all get hit with the same questions.
And sometimes that becomes a question because we get a phone call, hey, they're doing something, or somebody's building something in the city limits, and we just tell them, hey, call City Hall, because the only thing that we do is permit. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes in and gets a permit, we don't do any code enforcement inside the city limits.
Right. I just wanted y'all to be mindful of that. So that's all I got.
Mr. Osteen?
Just want to remind everybody that open house that I mentioned a few weeks ago at the Mayport Coast Guard base where we're taking kids and stuff like that. Just want to remind you that I want to represent Dixie County and showing our kids over there, giving them a tour. So if y'all got any kids want to come, bring them on. It's April 13th, 10 to 2, and they just show you what they're about. It's question and answer, how they can help you, and try to get our young kids on a path or a career. That's all I have.
Mr. Stevenson?
I don't really have anything at this time.
Yeah. Well, one more thing. Right, go ahead.
David, what about the rocks and horseshoes?
You know what? Ask Hutch.
Yeah, watch y'all. Y'all going to give him the Dale? David?
We voted years ago to do it, but.
I got a suggestion. I got a suggestion on them rocks.
What?
I know that they want to get the rocks at the point, I believe it is, but I think we ought to put them rocks out there to keep that sand from the next storm washing and filling in that canal.
That's what me and Hutch is working.
And I think we got a bunch of rocks somewhere else that we can give Dale.
Come on.
Yeah, me and Hutch had discussed it a couple of days, well, last week, about making us a jetty or something.
For the record, I'm not against Dale getting rocks. We got plenty of rocks.
I'm not either.
But about 8 years ago, me and Goose was sent down there to get them rocks out of the town. And Jody and Ronnie made a suggestion if we could ever come up with money to set up across that channel. Dale Coatson can do it. He can set up with his crane and do it. Set them on the other side of that channel. And the permits and all that, I'm not aware of what's about to do. But they've been there for 8 years, and we ain't got no ticket with it. But I went to Rocky Creek this morning and looked at them, and I got a pile of rocks down there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all could work a deal with Dale, I mean, to set them rocks across there for us. We can haul them rocks from Rocky Creek and get him some rocks.
Well, I'll be for that. We need permits to do that?
If you ask for them.
They've been 8 years. They've been there 8 years.
I'm making a jetty right there, so when it does get cleaned out, that'll keep that silt from filling the fire up.
Right now, you cannot drive a boat. Matter of fact, you can drive a car out there. Am I right,
Jay? Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Are you going to work with Dale and see if you and Hutch and see if y'all figure that out?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
We had a good meeting. Good looking crowd. Thank you, Mr. Hutch, for all you do. Thank you, everybody.
Don't forget about Crawford Centennial, April the 20th. Got our banners up down there. They've done a great job, so that's exciting. Parade will be at 10:30. And then they'll have, I think, Miss Cross City. And quite a few vendors now. It's
going to
be a good day.
Good deal. All right, we got one in the public like to speak. Miss Mary, it's your turn.
I'd rather speak.
Well, this is it. No, after the meeting's up? Okay, all right. Well, does anybody like to speak? Come on up to the podium.
What I want to do is tell, I'm going to handle Miss Mary's problem. She showed it to me back here one day.
Okay, so that's the reason why you decided not, that's the reason why you decided not to speak, because it's been taken care of.
Yes.
Good deal. Good deal.
Mr. Mark.
Yep.
Thank you, Miss Mary.
Thank you for, basically,
State your name.
I'm sorry, my name is Bart Malden. I'm a resident of Dixie County. I live in Old Town, have a business here in Cross City. I bought a piece of property from a tax auction that Ms. Barbie was happy to get off the rolls, and I was happy to get. And under the belief that a motion was put before the county that the commissioners, I thought, passed, and I found out later it didn't finalize or whatever. But residents of Dixie County that buy a piece of property that want on the Suwannee, that just want camping, don't want somebody living there, don't want to add, just want to be able to put in a power pole and a pull a mobile home or something up, to, not a mobile home, a travel trailer or whatever, to be able to be there for the weekend, not have a septic tank or anything, not utilize anything that would dirty up anything, and then pull it off when they're done camping. There was a couple of years back that was the board of agreed on that, and I now am under the belief that it wasn't ever finalized, and so I'm here to ask, it was approved before. It's just supposed to be for Dixie County residents that want to have a place on the river and have a temporary power pole. Thank you.
Well, I can explain what he's talking about. So years ago, you did have it brought up what they call a homestead pole, and they put a power pole on some of the river properties that weren't eligible to get septic tanks. It created a nightmare, but it was never finalized. It's not in writing nowhere. It's not in our land development rules. We didn't pass an ordinance on it, and you had several people buying these lots and then just turn around and sell them. There was no way of tracking them. And then the one that turned into a big code enforcement case that we had to go down and spend time and resources on. And so I don't know what you want to do about it. It's we don't have it in writing, so it's like it's not a
plan. It was talked about but never really actually voted on and done correctly.
Right.
How long ago was that?
Yeah. I don't remember.
That's been back, I think, when WC got in the first time.
Before you come along.
Yeah, it was before I came along. It's been years and years ago. We have about six or seven of the homestead poles in the system that were done around the same time, and they're all not owned by the same people now. And three of the poles, they no longer have power onto them. The other three, we monitor them, but it's the one, it ended up being a huge code enforcement case. In your LDRs, it states that you don't get electric service without having the approved wastewater containment. And it just, I don't know what to say in this situation right here. It's, it can be something that look at. It'd be something to back some more information to you on, but I have no way of, there's nothing in writing to grant this. And if there was, then you'd have every lot along the river with a power pole. I don't know what the answer is, Jim. There's a lot of non-buildable lots out there, I know that.
Yeah.
And
seems like to me it's going to be a nightmare. If the resident has one and they put power on it and they turn around and sell it to a non-resident, then you got an issue there.
Well, you have a few people wanting to do the right thing, and then when they sell it, you're going to have all this code violations coming up.
Right.
Well, we already got a county enforcement case on one of them now.
It was down there at Purvis Landing.
Yep.
It was right there. Just
couldn't it be that if under the sale of the property, the has to be removed? Or,
it's still an ordinance. At the end of the day, it's still an ordinance. Mm-hmm.
I see.
So. I don't know.
Start with, it sounds like we don't even have an ordinance.
Yeah, we don't. Well, if you did create an ordinance, you'd still have an ordinance there.
There's nothing, I mean,
people
sell properties all day long. It just isn't something we don't monitor the sale of properties.
Right.
We only monitor the
work for
them. I don't know.
Well, we don't know. Just some information, I guess.
Yeah.
Give us something else to make us. Decision on. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. It could have been, I was trying to remember when WC came in. I think he came in 14 and I wasn't here then. And then I come back in 16 and I can't remember from 8 to 12 that's having a conversation or 16 to present. I just don't recall it.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't think nobody was here to be honest with you. I don't recall it.
WC wanted it. He was the one that started it. He wanted it, and he wanted a, only he didn't want a 50-amp pole, he wanted 120. He wanted a pole there to go camping, and I basically said, why do we have to cater to you? And he said, well, there's other people that want it too, and there was another commissioner, but I don't know who won. And I said, well, yeah, I've got people that want it also. So, beyond that discussion, I don't know what happened with it, but I know WC started.
Okay.
He
that was before any of our time.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of us was here. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I was here. It was my understanding that the board voted for it because I knew that Barbara was upset about it. She brought it up. But it was my understanding that the board asked that.
Mark.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Your notes or something, are they on a computer where you can put it up? Something like that. I can keep those to bring for information for us.
I'd have to go back and figure out the year and figure out the month and try to find the paper.
We'd have to maybe go back.
They should be minutes recorded in our board meeting. We should be able to find those if there was a vote by the commission.
Yep.
So I'm sure Ms. Joni can research that because we do keep all of those, so you do have historical records.
Okay. Joni, see if you can't find us something. That's before any of our time.
So it should be that, they said the first year WC was elected, so that'll narrow it down to a little bit.
I'll get it.
Thank you for your time, and I wasn't trying to stir something up.
We need to find out. But we appreciate your time, and I appreciate each and everybody sitting up here. I honestly do thank you so much for everything you do for everybody here because a lot of people don't like to look at it that way, but we sure appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Anybody else like to speak? Anybody else? Going once. Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second, Ms. Postine, all in favor.
Aye.
take